The following program may contain music-related fun and laughs for all ages. Listening is advised. Wake up, world. It's time for Big JD and Lippo in the morning. And here they are, your hosts, Big JD and Lippo.
Hello and welcome to Big JD and Lippo in the morning.
I am Lippo.
He's not going to be talking any louder than this.
That's it.
And
that's
I'm Big JD.
That's all you got.
All I see is red.
No, I
on all my gear.
Well, that's because you just cut yourself and you're bleeding all over the place.
No.
No?
No, it's not.
Is it that time of the month?
No, it's not.
It's not that time of the month when he gets his welfare check. There's no
got a welfare check.
There is no beer in the fridge this week.
No, no bingo this week. No beer in the fridge. No cigarettes.
Bummer. I hate it when that happens.
Yeah.
But
it's all because I don't get welfare.
It helps you become a more patient person.
It does.
Yeah. That's not a good way
very
to live.
Patient.
Anyway, seriously, how you been doing, Big JD?
I've been doing good.
That's awesome.
Yep. Everything's good.
Everything's good over here, too. I'm on
sabbatical.
I'm on my last week of vacation.
Mm.
Yeah. I went camping last week and just did some stuff around the house this week. And I'm planning on going out for the rest of the weekend.
Cool. So do you have all the camping gear?
I used to in my prior life, but now I'm gathering again.
Okay.
Yeah. New sleeping bags, new tent.
Stove.
Still need a new stove. We used an old stove, but we used my girlfriend's dad's
sticks.
Stove. We
rub
had a
sticks
fire.
Together in a stone.
Well, no, you have a fire, but you don't cook everything on the fire.
You could.
You could, but we didn't.
But a stove is convenient. With a toaster? One of those round things where you pop the bread, put the bread all around the thing, and you can toast on your... Except doesn't it have a little bit of that taste and scent of...
propane burnt?
Yeah, as in propane, right?
Yes. If
things sort of do.
Yeah. It's not the best. The way I like to cook toast is you put a little butter in a pan, put it on the stove, and then throw the toast on the...
In the pan?
In the pan.
So it's like making a grilled cheese sandwich without the cheese.
It's grilled toast. So it's not really toasted. It's grilled. But
yeah.
It gets your bread crispy.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're looking for, right? Crispy bread.
It's all about being crispy when you're out camping.
You know, it's funny. We went to Allura, and I have great memories of going to Allura, drinking like crazy, tubing, being reckless and all that kind of stuff. But pull into the park last week, big, huge, permanent sign, total alcohol ban in the park.
Oh, really?
No alcohol allowed. So I assume that's to keep the riffraff out.
I don't think I've ever seen anything like that, though, not being able to drink in a campground.
Well, that's the way it's going. Provincial parks, I think, are all like that, for
sure. Are you allowed to smoke in there? Can you smoke? Well, you can have fire, I guess. I'm thinking of the Smokey Bear thing.
Hello. But no drinking. And which is, I guess, is a kind of good thing. Went to Allura Gorge. There's a big gorge there. You can easily fall off.
Well, there's a gorge in Allura Gorge.
Yeah, and you could die or get really hurt. So it's interesting that they have that there. I think maybe my generation probably wrecked it for all future generations. Sorry about that.
That's possible.
This is my public apology to you. But we had fun anyway. We drank there. You know, just two older people. They're not out for us, but I assume the sign is there to keep the parties down and stuff.
Some news headlines. Robert Plant and the Sensational Space Shifters have announced a 7-date theater tour of North America to promote his new album. Robert Plant on tour.
Yeah, it's awesome. 7 dates. It's going to be more than 7 dates. It's just those are the initial 7 dates that are up. I suspect he's going to do whatever, 30 to 50 dates on that tour.
And a bunch of Zeppelin?
I don't think he's going to do any Zeppelin.
No,
eh? He's got a ton of solo material, some of which...
He does, but doesn't everybody expect some Led Zeppelin? I would. If I went to see Robert Plant doing anything, I'd want to see some Zeppelin. I'm sure he's got to play a few songs.
Bet you he don't. I saw Robert Plant solo, and he never played
any Zeppelin?
Didn't play any Zeppelin.
Really?
No. I saw him with Jimmy Page, and Robert Plant, when they did the, a couple albums. And they did the stuff that was on their albums, but they also did a couple Zeppelin tunes. But he's got like, he's been solo way longer than he's been in Led Zeppelin.
And so. And that's funny because, I mean, everybody primarily associates him with Led Zeppelin, wouldn't they? Unless
you're born
younger or something, I suppose.
Yeah. He may do a Led Zeppelin song, but I wouldn't be surprised. Let's put it that way.
Wonder what he really thinks about Led Zeppelin these days.
And the question is, if he played, let's say played really close, like the casino here, would you go see him?
At the casino?
Yeah.
I may. If I could get free tickets, I might.
Well,
he's not the legend anymore that I, you know what I mean? I mean, he is, but
is there another venue where you would go see him?
Oh, where I'd go see him? No, I just probably wouldn't. Like, I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, when I think about it, I don't have the desire to see Robert Plant.
It's the lack of being a legend any longer that turns you off.
He's not going to do any Zeppelin, especially. I don't know.
Yeah, well, it's not going to be a night full of Zeppelin. Speaking of legends, Eric Clapton will release a new tour documentary, Planes, Trains, and Eric. It's going to be released on DVD, Blu-ray, and other digital formats. It'll be available in iTunes. Along with the live footage, the documentary also features interviews with Clapton and his band, Steve Gadd, awesome drummer, Paul Carrack, the dude he's been playing with on keys forever, Nathan Bass, awesome bass player, and Chris Stanton. And there'll be other sound check stuff in there as well, and it promises to be a pretty decent package. Tell the Truth, Derek and Domino's Pretending, Crossroads Drifting, let me see, other Layla's going to be on there, Before He Accused Me. So he runs the gamut of his whole career on this live DVD that he's going to be putting out.
I think that's pretty cool.
Planes, Trains, and Eric.
Jimi Hendrix Park under construction. Following 3 years of planning and a successful fundraising campaign, Jimi Hendrix is to have a park created in his honor in his hometown of Seattle.
That's awesome.
Jimi Hendrix Park.
There's so many cities that are just so lame, whereas there's cool cities that do all kinds of great stuff as far as mass transit, putting up parks for Jimi Hendrix. So I bet you Paul Allen has something to do with that, though. Hmm? The guy who started Microsoft, who has all kinds of cash. I know he was a huge proponent of the Jimi Hendrix experience that started off in Seattle, and then it ended up going on tour, and they had all kinds of amazing musicians on that tour as well. Austin's another really cool city that they're just forward-thinking. They're not so stodgy and
stuff. Yeah, but they're also more, seem to be a little more creative, maybe a little more music oriented. Yeah. You know what I mean? Austin City Limits and Seattle for their
genre of music. Is also in Austin as well. And well, of course, you have all the young dudes who are in the whatever they call that, the Northwest.
All the young dudes
carry the news.
Never cared for them.
Mata Hoople?
Yeah.
Ian Not Hunter.
Really? Yeah. Never cared much for Ian Hunter.
Okay. That's okay. He's one of my faves, that's for sure. I got turned on to him.
Yeah.
And I loved him when I first started hearing him. And then I realized he was hooked on, he was like in cahoots with David Bowie as well.
But I do like the Rods, so let's listen to some Rods on Big JD and Lippo in the Morning. Music Man from the first Rod CD.
I'm
right. What's the show on today?
Multi-tracking and home recording?
For sure. Home recording, I guess, or just recording your music in general and the different ways that you can do that. It might not even be multi-tracking. There's some really cool portable devices, and we'll talk about those as well on the show after...
Custard Pie, Led Zeppelin.
All right, so today's show is on recording your music.
How many songs have you ever recorded, Big JD?
A lot. Didn't we look them up one day? There was like almost 9,000 or something.
It's in the thousands, I remember.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a crazy amount.
Like yeah, a lot of songs.
And
a lot of different formats.
Yeah, let's go through your history of recording. What was the very first thing that you seriously recorded? What was the format you were
The first thing, it was probably a four-track recorder, really, was the first kind of serious thing, but... Even I think around that time or just prior before I could really afford to have my own or be renting it for kind of demo purposes and things like that.
Right.
I had two tape decks that somehow, I don't even know how I figured it out, but I could bounce between the left and right, like bounce from tape deck to tape deck and utilizing the left and right sides with instruments plugged into these two cassette decks.
Yep.
And I could multi-track with them.
Right.
And bounce back and forth. I remember. Quality would diminish every time or whatever. Yeah. And there was never any drums on it because I don't even think I actually had a drum machine. So I've actually got, I'm going to say, at least a couple or few like 90-minute tapes full of songs that were multi-tracked in that fashion. So they have guitar, bass, and drum, or guitar, bass, and vocals on them, and solos and everything, but no drums, which I couldn't really put to them now or any other time because they, you know, they're not, there was no metronome or anything, so.
It's just free time, pretty much. So,
you know what I mean?
You were listening to anything? To
fix that.
In your can, you didn't have cans that were listening to drums?
Yeah, I would be listening, not drums, but I would be listening to...
Like a bed track.
Whatever, yeah, like whatever I recorded. Because I was just plugging my instruments into these, into the, you know, they had microphone...
Inputs
in them.
Yep.
Old Sony and Marantz decks, stuff like that.
So, yeah, I remember that.
That was some early stage serious for me recording.
Sure. And then what about after, what was like the first like studio type experience you had? Even if it might not even have been in a studio, but something that was that quality of recording. Would have been in a studio?
It would have been in a studio. I've been in a million studios. Yeah, and we recorded on everything from the old Beta tapes and VHS, which was ADAT to... You know, quarter inch, half inch tape, 1 inch tape, 2 inch tape.
Recorded 2 inch tape?
Tons, yeah. And awesome. I carted those things around for years. And after I dumped them all, that's when I wish I still kept them. But I can't imagine the degradation of those either because I had them for a long time. Mm-hmm. Then I brought them to the dump one day.
Really?
Yeah. Boxes of tapes from studios that I had been in from way back.
And you just figured I'll never get
it. I have one tape here somewhere now that is an Ampex. Half inch tape, I believe, with my Wicked Angel drummer and bass player band, and he sent me the tape from BC because he was carting around with him and I wanted drums from him, right?
Right.
It was multi-track, but I have no machine and can't really find the machine to use to transfer the drums, you know what I mean?
So you'd have to look around for that.
So that's the only thing I actually have right now that's tape from the old days like that.
So that's
which some studios still use, obviously.
But. Sure. And that, like when you went into these studios in the, what would it be, mid to late 80s?
Yeah. Mid 80s to mid 90s or beyond, actually, because I've been into some too, recording for other people. So
typically they'd have 24 or 16 channels to go from.
Yeah.
And they'd be recording on anything.
I've recorded on 8 channel setups and 16, 24. And then beyond, and some digitally and whatnot.
Yeah, after you get digital, it's the sky's the limit, really.
Yep. If I went into a big studio to record, I would prefer to do everything digitally. I don't care about the warmness.
I don't want warm.
It's got to be heavy.
It's got to be cold and heavy. Well, there is. They say some. Do you agree that there is some warmness associated with recording?
Yeah, definitely. Analog is going to be different. And depending on the type of music that you're recording and what you're going for, I guess, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it depends what you're going for sure.
And then I look at it in terms of how I record and what I do and if I was doing it myself or whatever, right? And it's easeability to do it all digitally. I guess if I was going to a big studio and they want to record on tape, then, you know, that's fine, really. I mean,
do you know what the stats are as far as if you go into some studio, if they're recording to tape? Most of them don't, do they?
I don't think so, but I would imagine some of the big studios may still have that option because there's probably a lot of bands that, you know, and now I think it's just more of a retro thing. Like, hey man, we record on to tape, you know, because it's whatever. Like that's lame, though. This is the digital age, man. Get with it.
That's right. Absolutely.
And if you're doing stuff yourself, it's way easier to work with, obviously, than any tape that you could, you know what I mean? You'd have to find an old machine and find somewhere to buy your tapes and you know what I mean? You can't really do that yourself anyway.
No, you have to have the facility to do
digital recording these days.
Pretty much. And it's so easy. Like, you know, if you have if you're recording a song and you do a chorus of your song and it's dead on. It's perfectly the way you want.
You cut and paste,
and you're done. And there's no sense in even trying to get the same performance out of a chorus as you did the first time.
As long as you make sure that you are set up for that initially, you know what I mean? You can't necessarily do, I mean, you could theoretically just cut and paste however you want. But I mean, if you're working to a grid and a metronome, then when you select these verses and choruses, everything's going to be pretty much perfect. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's something to keep in mind beforehand. But yeah, I'm all for cut and paste.
Cut and paste. You want to play some music and then maybe get into the hows and whats and the nitty gritty of multi-tracking and home recording?
Absolutely.
You want to play one of mine, one of yo's?
Let's do something that Lippo's got set up here for us. Mainline Florida.
Speaking of Eric Clapton. So we talked about Robert Plant in the news, and then we talked about Eric Clapton in the news. We're playing a song from both of these guys. This is Mainline Florida. This is right after he got off of heroin, and this is called Mainline Florida.
Wow. That's a different kind of
You can tell he's really...
Is that one of those Heil boxes or something? Or was it just instrumental type thing or something?
That's a good question.
It sounded like a Heil box type thing.
Could have been.
Can't still buy... Can you buy the actual Heil box still? And I think if you can, they're not a lot of money.
No.
Like $100 or something.
Yeah, because you know what it is. It's just a little tiny speaker. It
blows air.
It's a speaker at the end of a tube.
Is it a speaker down there? And you have to mic it, or do they just... No, they must go in, plug into something now, don't they?
It's a speaker, so the sound is traveling down the tube into your mouth.
Okay, right. But what's with the speaker then?
What speaker do you speak of?
You said there's a speaker.
Oh, so yeah. So the speaker's in an enclosure.
Yeah.
And inside that enclosure, a tube is right up against that speaker, attached to it.
Yeah, but what's with the speaker? How do you get the air? Isn't it air that comes out of the tube or something? How do you get the wow out of it? The tube comes up to your neck to your microphone.
Yeah, the sound is going through the tube, and obviously all sound really is
what's air. The sound?
The sound is your guitar. So your guitar is split somehow, so...
Oh, right, yeah.
A signal goes, and so there's a speaker...
I wasn't thinking about the guitar for some reason. I was just thinking about air coming out of a tube, and it's at your microphone. I forgot it has to be...
Yeah, so it's a little speaker that is playing what your guitar is playing, and that sound goes up the tube into your mouth, and then that has to be next to a microphone.
Wow.
Because that sound has to be right there.
Right.
So that's where all that comes from.
Okay, I get it. Yeah, pretty neat.
And so it's really lo-fi.
Did you ever play one?
No, I've never played
one. It'd be neat to have one, wouldn't it?
It'd be neat to have one.
You guys don't do anything that warrants it, do you?
No. I'd love to play some Peter Joe Frampton. Walsh or Peter Whatever, Frampton, right? Yeah. Even some Eagles. There's some good Eagles tunes that Joe Walsh obviously uses. Yeah, he's into it, right?
So we're loosely talking about recording on the show today. And so...
Pretty tightly. What are you talking about loosely?
Is it tight? Okay.
Maybe your stool was loose, but other than that...
The stool is loose, but where it comes from is... I mean...
it's joint! Okay.
I think it's the other way around. But,
I think so, but never mind.
One thing I want to mention, though, is the software called Audacity. Because of the fact that anybody has access to it. You know what I mean? It's not... If you're on a PC or a Mac, Audacity is free and you can use it to multi-track. If you're on a Mac, you get GarageBand for free, which is pretty awesome. But Audacity is a pretty cool thing to mention for somebody that's, you know, just starting out or doesn't record yet or multi-track or anything. And, you know, you can probably use your inputs on your PC or your Mac laptop or whatever to plug something in, as long as you have the, you know, an adapter or a cable that plugs into, say, a guitar to the 1/8 jack or something like that. You don't really even need anything hardly.
As far as hardware goes, no.
Yeah.
And if you are on a Mac, which I highly recommend, if you're going to record music, get yourself on a Mac.
I do too, but that's another show.
Yeah. So if you're talking about Audacity, Audacity's interface is like from the 90s for sure. It's just...
Well, yeah, it looks... I mean, it's just an open source thing.
Yeah, that no one's really working on as far as the interface goes, which I wish they would change that up, because yes, it is free, and yes, it is multi-tracking, and
you can use plugins. I think it uses VST plugins and stuff like that, so you can, you know, if you need a guitar distortion sounds and different effects and things like that, then you can use them with Audacity, and it's just free. It's you can go to soundforge.org or something like that, or just search Audacity. Got a manual there for you and everything.
Yep, and if you're on a Mac, you would use GarageBand. GarageBand is just recently, with the release of Mavericks, has a total revamping as well.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't even have it anymore, but...
That's okay.
I'd like to see it at some point.
It takes some getting used to, just like everything, right? It's just something new that...
Yeah, they're all kind of the same, but it's the interface. It looks different and that sort of thing. You know, you got to find everything, you know, in these different programs and stuff, but the idea is the same.
There is a learning curve, but I think where the software companies are going is towards more of a consumer slant, unless you're buying Logic and stuff like that. So they want to make that, once you do learn the software, they want to make it so that it's super streamlined from recording to getting to wherever you want to go, whether it's putting effects on it or mastering or all that stuff. They want to make it super easy for you to do that. And they try to think differently, whereas I think when they first started, they had the mindset of a recording studio. The pro end stuff, and they try to dumb that down. Whereas now I think they're going the route of actually start from scratch and let's see what the workflow of the average Joe out there who wants to record his song is.
And when we come back, we'll play some more music, and then I think we'll get a little bit into some of the gear that we have for recording.
Coming to you from the Windsor, Detroit area and podcast worldwide, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
As we all know, I try to keep the show music in the theme of whatever the topic is of discussion, and this is no exception. The Doobie Brothers, listen to the music. All right, we're back. Doobie Brothers on the Morning Show. Big JD and Lippo.
Thanks a lot for listening, everybody.
What?
Well, I'm just saying thanks to everybody for listening.
Oh, okay. Sounded like the end of the show.
No.
That's what we do.
That's what we do, but I really
Yes, we'd love to thank our listeners, and we have some new things
in on the horizon.
Works for the Morning Show, so you just have to stay tuned for that stuff.
Yep. It should be fun and interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You might even be able to see the face of Big JD.
And Lippo?
No, I'm not.
In the morning?
No. You don't want
we'll have you blurt out.
You don't want to see Lippo in the morning.
No, I mean, we'll have you blurt out, like yell something.
Sure. Big JD!
Whoa! Okay, so we're talking about recording on the show today, and we have some different pieces of gear that we use. I mean, we've had lots of stuff through the years that we recorded on and used as interfaces to record on the computer, and sometimes not with the computer. There's some devices that you can get that will multi-track without using your computer, which is kind of neat too. But let's talk first a little bit about some of the things we have.
Well, I just wanted to go through a little bit of the history of the stuff that we had. It seemed like the stuff that we did have, it was like, oh, you got this FireWire port on your Mac. It seemed like it was the pro thing to have.
That was the way to go, yeah.
It still is, really. It's killer and all
or
light, stuff.
Or Thunderbolt now, but...
But it seemed as though the whatever is built into the operating system, as far as letting other devices in or, you know, it's... compatibility with whatever you're using,
didn't seem to catch up as quick as all the gear that came out.
It seemed to lag, and it was always kind of janky. Never worked good all the time. It worked good sometimes, didn't work good all the time.
Don't forget, I think we were getting into some of that stuff when that was all sort of new, you know, and some of the companies that were coming out were new, and you know,
that type of thing. Yeah,
so because I mean, there's some pro stuff out there that you just don't have to worry about anymore now.
Exactly. You know? It was drivers that were required by these boxes to talk with the operating system at the time. So it just seemed janky, and it was this FireWire thing. But whereas now USB seems to be fine for the most part.
It is, I guess, but depends on how many tracks you're recording on at the same time. And that
You're pushing lots of data, then obviously you need a bigger port.
But for most consumers, generally, yeah, USB is, you know, that's all the gear is generally USB gear, you know.
Pretty much. So would you say that, you say FireWire is still in use?
Sure.
Even though Thunderbolt is, you don't even get FireWire on a new Mac. These days it's Thunderbolt, and
you have to get an adapter. You can use an adapter, yeah, and that's
so when is the Thunderbolt stuff coming?
When they feel that it's going to stick around, I guess.
Yeah, that's funny how that works.
Probably, and it's not like they're better off just keeping with FireWire because nobody has FireWire ports anymore, even really anyway. So making a FireWire device doesn't even really make sense.
No, it doesn't.
Unless, would they ever go backwards, do you think? Do you think they'd ever think that, you know, this Thunderbolt's just not really the thing, and all the gear is they're still making FireWire, let's put FireWire port back in. Anybody would ever do that?
Let's use PCI slots.
Is that going
slots.
Backwards? Yeah. Or PCMCIA slots.
Well, that's a laptop,
the cards it? And stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
I have a port for an express card on my big laptop, and I always look at the cards thinking, I'd like to get a card just to have one or something, and I don't even know what to get.
The big laptop, he calls it.
Yeah, 17-inch MacBook Pro. Don't even make that anymore.
They don't make that
anymore. Sweet laptop, though, I got to say. I mean, it's a large, you know, footprint, but it's nice to have that real estate and
FireWire
to have
a bigger
800.
FireWire 800.
Yep. Very 800 nice. And Thunderbolt.
On the 17-inch?
Yeah. It was the last one that was made. It's a unibody thing, and it's all the, you know.
It was all the rage at the time.
It was all the rage at the time. So now into some of the gear that we actually have now.
Right.
You have a couple of pieces, and I'm surprised you got anything after the one that was for the iPad thing, but I guess you can use it for the PC and not, but that's the Apogee.
I got the Apogee, but the thing I had before was the Alesis.
Right, which I thought was really cool.
It is very cool. The only problem is it has a 30-pin adapter. I mean, a 30-pin dock to it.
Oh, there's no adapter for that specifically, is there?
No, well, I put an adapter on it, and then it sits on an angle, and
But there's no real fix for that. You'd have to get an upgraded one. Do they make that still, I think?
The Alesis I.O. dock with Lightning, that would be the thing, right?
Yeah.
Have I looked into that? I haven't even looked into that. Okay. I was thinking of getting rid of the one I have. I'll just put it on Kijiji or eBay or something. But the thing I got now is the
Apogee. What would that go for?
$150?
Yeah. Okay.
I'm thinking. Probably paid $250 for it.
That's because I was thinking about it, but I just don't have any reason to have it. But I think it's a cool thing.
It is a cool thing because it has the two XLRs on the back. It has a main out. It has two auxiliaries out. It's got MIDI through.
Yeah, it's got everything. And it sits in this dock like on an angle like it's a little mixer board. And then you have the interface with your iPad. And it's a great little recording device thing, except it got old fast.
Right at the end of the 30-pin Lightning cycle.
Yeah.
It was, you know, it was time for Apple to change, and so they did, and so... It still works with the Lightning adapter that I put in. I used it for a few things. It seems to work
fine. The Apple adapter that
goes from 30-pin to Lightning, and it works fine, but like I say, your iPad sticks out the end, and it's on an angle. Yeah, it's not nice for your Lightning port on your iPad either, because there's a lot of pressure in there, right? So I got rid of that. Or I didn't get rid of it. I can still have it. Anybody want it? Give me a call.
There you go. BigJDandLippo.com.
Yeah. Get a hold of us somehow. And so I got the Apogee One. So the Apogee came out 3 years ago with something called a Duet.
Okay.
Kind of a standalone deal that had a breakout cable where you could plug in RCA, quarter inch, and XLR stuff.
Basically, a breakout cable that you could plug in your instruments.
Yeah. So, stuff that you can get audio into the Duet. I think it had two XLRs in this breakout cable. So you had all the, it's just a wire with all these dangly things hanging off of it. And then they came out with the Apogee One shortly thereafter. But this is the second generation of it, and what this does is allow you to record with your iOS device as well.
So Which is cool. So the dual purpose
So device. It goes from the device to a lightning into your iPad or your phone or whatever. So it's nice that way. But when it's plugged into your Mac via USB, it's your interface, so you can plug your speakers into there, and you know all your sound can go through there. You can use it for Skype or whatever. So it's your
sure you can plug thing. In powered monitors and everything.
Yeah, everything.
It's pretty neat.
It's very nice.
I want to mention something else too before we run out of time during the show. At some point is IK Multimedia. Check that out, IKMultimedia.com, because they have a slew of different equipment to use for your computer or your iOS device, and
coming out with stuff all the time.
They have everything. They got MIDI interfaces and audio interfaces and different clips and stands and software and all kinds of things.
And their gear things, they're gearing themselves for everything. For the guy who's just getting in,
sure,
you get the iRig, which is whatever, $30-$40. You can plug your guitar right into it, and bam, you're off to go. They give you free software to go with it. Or now they got the HD version.
And they have pedals and keyboards and everything now that plug into your, like, even your iOS device.
Yeah.
You hook it all up to there, and you can play your keyboards and everything and record. And GarageBand on iOS is pretty cool, too.
It's pretty cool. I use a different piece of software that's, the guy is keeping it up. It's one guy who does it, and it's pretty good.
What is it? Do you recall the name?
I don't have to recall the name because it's right on my iPad, which I have in
there's a lot of good stuff, yeah. There's actually, IK Multimedia makes a multi-track recorder as well for...
Recorder Plus is what it's called.
Okay.
Yeah.
And do you use it for anything specific or...
Just to record audio on my iPad.
Any audio, okay.
Yeah. So, and it creates a file, which I like that kind of thing. I want to see a file that...
Records in mono?
Records in mono and stereo if you want, yeah.
Stereo too, okay. How does it record in stereo on an iPad? Because they don't actually have... stereo microphones, do they?
Who doesn't have stereo?
The device, like your.
Oh no! If you're just recording using what's here, no, you wouldn't be able to do that.
You have to use the input or the lightning, and you can
then record. Whatever deal you're using.
If you have a stereo device, yeah, sure.
But it's the fact that it creates files that you can easily transfer to your computer. I like that aspect of it, and you can record a WAV or an MP3 file. But let's play a little bit more music. This is recorded way back in the day before they had all this fancy schmancy digital audio recording stuff. This is the original version of I Want to Tell You, which was a song that was covered by, looking at you, Big JD,
Ted Nugent.
Very good. I Want to Tell You by the Beatles.
Slip away.
are back. We're talking about recording on the show today.
This is something that you have had a passion for. You record your wife's music, record your brother's music. You record dudes who, I don't even know how they got a hold of you.
Yeah.
Religious albums.
I wish I had a place, though. I would be doing more actual music recording.
Sitting on the street corner is kind of noisy, but well, it's all right.
Especially if it's in New York City. Lana's project's been a long time in the making, but we just, at the tail end of finishing the Judas Priest song, because she's doing a cover, awesome. Angel by Priest, it's pretty good. I think we had talked about that a little bit.
She a Judas Priest fan before she met you?
We'd have to ask her that. Okay. She's not in the studio at the moment, but I'm going to say she probably knew them because she was into metal and stuff. You know what I mean?
She knew them personally? Huh?
Well, not personally, but I wish. I could have hooked up with Rob for sure.
You would have hooked up with him, yeah?
Well, yeah.
Change your sexuality right on the spot.
Change what?
Change your sexuality. Yeah,
not change. No?
No, you don't have to change at all. He's a AC/DC kind of guy.
But yeah, some of the things... I'm trying to think of some of the things that I've had, but one thing that I do want to talk about is the Zoom H4 or H4N or Zoom products, because Zoom has some multi-track recording devices that you can use with the computer as an audio interface and record into your favorite DAW, which is a digital audio workstation, or you can use them as a standalone multi-track recorder. Now, they have out now the Zoom H6.
Of course they do.
Which will allow for six microphone XLR mic inputs, and you can plug your instruments. They double as the quarter inch jack. They have a hole in the center for that, and you can multi-track six. You can also bounce on them. You can have more than six tracks if you want to. Six channels, yeah, at one time, and it's great. So we were just talking about the Zoom H6, and they're using them a lot for filmmaking now, too, because, you know, you can multi-track record with those. So if you got a bunch of different lavaliers and using a boom mic and, you know, getting different sources of audio, then you can use these recorders and you can hold them in your hand, or, you know, it's not as big and bulky as some of the other field recorders and stuff like that.
For sure.
So it's really cool, and they're handy. And for music, I mean, they have outboard microphones too, the XY pattern microphones, and the new Zoom H6 is interchangeable. So you can actually put a shotgun on there. If you're doing film stuff, you can put the ball mic on there, you know, if you're doing interviews and things, and you can use the XY if you're recording a band and want to record bed tracks, say, and you get this 90 or 120 degree radius of the band in stereo. And
yep.
Then they make other ones that are like surround sound and stuff, you know, like you can get quad mix if your band is in, like, you know, around this thing or something like that.
Oh, that's
those
cool.
Little Zoom H2s and stuff like that.
So yeah,
cool stuff. So Zoom products is another thing to check out, and I don't think it's zoom.com, but just look up Zoom or audio. Samson Tech. That's
all right. Samson,
they're the parent company.
Right. So we are getting endorsements from both IK Multimedia.
We should be getting endorsements.
Zoom. And Apogee.
Yeah. Alesis.
Well, and Alesis as well. All of those companies they're up there as far as the stuff that they put out is not, they're not fly by night.
It's
a lot of knowledge.
Good quality equipment. They've been around for a while and still make gear. And speaking of Alesis, do you still have your Alesis board? Because you had the FireWire 8-channel Alesis board, right?
I did, yeah. Some of the channels are a little janky, so like they don't
janky
work.
Janky or scratch? Oh, yeah. Just scratchy?
Intermittently work, yes. Why?
Just because of the dirt. But no, I have a 12-channel board like that, the Alesis, member. The Multimix 12.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah. And where's that sitting?
It's in the closet.
It's in the closet.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't need it out here right now, but it's handy because I could actually link it up.
But you have no place to put that.
I don't have any place to put it right now, and yeah, I don't quite need it at the moment.
Is there some kind of active thing you're doing to get a place? You got to get a place.
Half active. Yeah, we've just been too busy really to deal with it. But yeah, something's got to be done, and I'm looking at some opportunities, so I don't really know yet.
Okay, so when we get the call from Victoria, British Columbia radio station saying they want to use us, you're going to have to pack up something at some point.
Yeah, I have to pack up something.
And I'm more than willing to use the kitchen as a studio.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I don't mind.
Okay.
A little bit of bacon grease on your microphone? No big deal. You can't hear bacon grease. I wish you could.
You could hear bacon grease. What are you talking about?
If it's just sitting there, not as it's cooking. Okay, yeah.
When it's just sitting there, it's hard and white, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, uh-huh. It is.
I don't know where he went for a second, but...
Hard and white. That's the thin white Duke. What are you looking for?
Just want to see what's next on the agenda here as far as music. We've got one more song lined up, so...
Let's play that tune, and then we'll discuss, while that song is playing, what next week's show is going to be on.
All right, so this is REM, and this is called Finest Work Song.
Awesome tune.
You're listening to Big JD and Libbo in the morning.
Thanks a lot for listening.
We're not done. She's doing it again.
I want to keep saying thank you.
So what do we got on tap for next week?
Rickard's Red.
What? Is that some kind of booze?
It's beer.
I don't know anything about beer anymore.
I know. Did you drink beer when you were a lad?
Yeah. Back then, though, it was a homemade brew in the back still.
Was it?
No.
No, I'm just saying, some when guys I drank, couldn't drink beer. So
I drank beer, yeah.
You were a beer
Never guy. Really cared for the taste of beer, but I liked, you know, how it made you feel after.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
So, yeah, it was just, you know, Canadian and blue, and that's about it.
Blah. It was OV for me.
Was it?
Yeah, back
just
in the day.
Just say OV.
Just say OV.
Let it be Lowenbrow. The commercial.
Good old commercials.
Let it be Lowenbrow.
That's what we should do a
you
show.
You can probably do that good.
The Lowenbrow voice?
Yeah, yeah. You can go deeper. You can go deeper if you want. It's a good thing the show is coming to a close.
I don't have the equipment to go any deeper.
Wow. That was good.
On tap, we're going to be talking about that great city by on the East Coast. The I was going to say by the bay. There is a bay there.
City by the bay.
Everybody refers that to be San Francisco. But we're not going to be talking about San Francisco, which is a great city to talk about.
It is.
That's a future show. We're going to be talking about Boston.
Sure.
So we're going to be talking about the Boston Pops, Aerosmith, Jake Isles, and all
Boston.
Those. Were they from actual, Boston? The actual band, Boston.
Yeah. Who else off the top of your head was from Boston? Quick. I don't have no idea. It's going to be an Aerosmith Boston Pops show.
Well, Jake Isles.
Oh, right. Yeah.
But besides that, I can't think off the top of my head, but there's lots of history there.
Yeah, that's cool. Next week, Boston on the show.
All right, and we're going to be playing a song on the way out?
No, we're not.
So we've done our thing, and we're done.
That's it. It's over.
All right.
Say goodbye.
All right. Thanks a lot for listening, everybody. Goodbye.
See you next week.
Join us here next week for more Big JD and Lippo in the Morning. Subscribe to the podcast free in iTunes, and don't forget to like the Big JD and Lippo Facebook page.